Our words this morning come to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 20 through 26, 20 through 27. I invite you now to hear these words. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all these since my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, there is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, then who can be saved? He replied, what is impossible for mortals is possible with God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we hear the words this morning of the scripture, there's a deeper meaning than just that cursory understanding. If we have money, then you're not going to make it to heaven. It's hard to get to heaven if you have money. That the only way to get to heaven is to be poor and to give away everything that you have. Well, what I want you to do as we hear these words this morning is to take that word rich, take that word wealth, take that word that is there and replace it with something else that is potentially an idol. In other words, that thing that keeps you away from God. I guess one of the questions that I would ask this morning to kind of frame this, or several questions, is ask this. What is it that keeps you out of church on Sundays? What is it that keeps you from praying like you should pray? What is it that keeps you from reading the Bible as committed as you should? What is it that keeps you from having those devotional times? What is it that keeps you from loving like God would have you love? What is it that keeps you from serving your neighbor? What is it that stands in the way of a deeper relationship with God? And once you know that, those are those idols that Jesus is making reference to in the scripture this morning. He talks about wealth. He talks about being rich. But even more deeper than that, you can ask the question, what is it that stands in the way of that next level relationship with God? And that's what Jesus speaks to this rich young man about. Those things, in his case it was money, those things that stand in the way of a deeper relationship. Well, there's this rich young man that comes to Jesus with some questions. And before we get there, I want to ask you this. All of you are either parents or you have been kids who have had parents or grandparents, so you all understand this. Have you ever heard, what is the least that I have to do to get my allowance? What is the least that I have to do to get my reward? What is the least that I have to do to get all the boxes checked so that I'm a good person? And by the way, here's a list of all the good things I've done. Yeah, maybe I've not cleaned up my room quite to the way you wanted it cleaned, but here's all the good stuff I've done, so this should count more than this over here. Have you not? Is there anybody who's not heard that? I think we've all probably heard it or said it. I've said it a bunch. What's the least that I have to do to get by? We can say that at work. We can say it in our families. We can say it with hobbies. But the point is, we're looking for the easiest way out. And essentially, that's what this rich young man did. As he came to Jesus asking, what's the least that I have to do to get to heaven? The least that I have to do to get to heaven. Now, if you recall last week, we mentioned some things about sin, about there's really no such thing as a little sin or a small sin. That sin is sin no matter what. And that we can put up over here and say, well, you know what? I've not committed adultery. I've not killed anybody. I've not stolen from anybody. But I've done these other things. Well, there's no balance there. Sin is sin. And that's essentially what Jesus is trying to teach this rich young man this morning, is that there is not a least. There is an expectation of what needs to be done, but there is not a least. We have to do it all or to do none of it. Now, what do you think about this rich young man? The way that he's described, a certain ruler, a rich young man, he approaches Jesus saying, "Good teacher." So he approaches Jesus with his own motives. Good teacher, what do you think? What's the least that I have to do to get to heaven? He's approached Jesus looking or seeking for affirmation on the way that he lived. Seeking affirmation that the way that he lived is okay, and the way to get to heaven conformed with his standards rather than the other way around. Because he pointed out to Jesus, "I've not done any of those things. You mentioned adultery. You mentioned stealing. You mentioned honoring your father and your mother." And he said, "I followed all these things since my youth. I followed all these things since my youth, so I'm good to go, right?" And then Jesus said, "No, you're not good to go." Well, back up a step and look at the way he's described. A certain ruler, a rich young man. That's the way he's described. You don't hear any word in there about being a Christian. Now, on the day of your passing, where people are talking about you, how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as a rich young man or a rich young woman? Do you want to be remembered as a ruler? Do you want to be remembered as a diehard Carolina Panthers fan that never missed a football game on Sundays, even at the expense of not going to church? Do you want to be remembered as that person who could win any poker game against anybody? Or do you want to be remembered as a Christian? Do you want to be remembered as a man or a woman of God? Is that how you want to be described, or you want to be described as this other person? And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to this man. You see, this man that approached Jesus, again, was seeking affirmation that the way he lived was okay, and that made the world go round, and that he had done all the right things. He had checked all the boxes, and on the day of his passing, he was going to go to heaven and experience that glory with everybody else. But Jesus said, "No, there's something different." You see, wealth and riches were this man's idols. It was who he was. It was the identity of this young ruler. It defined him. It was what made him. It is what gave him his power and his prestige. Wealth was his identity. That was his description, not being a Christian. Well, Jesus knows everything about us. So as this man approached Jesus, Jesus already knew what his motives were. He already knew everything about him. And Jesus challenged him. And he gave him instructions about what to do. As Jesus made the references to the scripture about no adultery, no murder, no stealing, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, the young man said, "I've done all these things. I've done it. Check me off. I'm good to go. Check me off." And then Jesus turned it around quickly and said, "Think about it. You have to sell all that you have and give it all to the poor. And then, and only then, can you receive the treasure that has been made for you in heaven." Well, it said afterwards that the man suddenly became sad. That he became sad after he realized he had to give everything up. Now, do you think it's because he didn't want to lose his money? That he didn't want to give his wealth up? Or perhaps do you think it is because suddenly he came to the realization that what he had been doing all along was wrong? He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was being this good Christian person. But suddenly it was thrown up in his face. You don't see it. You don't get it. You don't fully understand it. There's more to being a Christian than checking off a list of those 10 commandments. You heard the children's message this morning, the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all that you have, everything, and love your neighbor. So we got those 10 commandments that kind of give us some steps, but then we had this other great commandment that sums everything else up. That we have to fully love God, that we have to love our neighbor. And then, of course, we'll go on to the Great Commission to make disciples. You see, this young man thought he had it right, but then suddenly he realized that he had been guilty of coveting, that he had been guilty of having other idols before God. And I think all of us have had that experience to where we thought we were doing the right thing. We thought we were helping. But then we realized that maybe we were not. Maybe we thought we were judging. What about the homeless on a street corner, standing there holding signs? I've done it. All of us probably have said, well, maybe they're there just trying to make a little money. Maybe they are. But the point is, that's not my job to decide. That's God's job to decide. Judgment is in the hands of the Lord. So I can't be judgmental, and that's hard because we're human beings. It's easy for us to judge. It is hard for us to say, that's on God. That's not on me. There's ways that I can help. There's ways that I can help safely. There's ways that we can do this. Frequently we get people that will show up in church for a day, or people that will, they can pick the pastor out in the parking lot, and they will come running to me right after church. I need some help. I need some money. My family's falling on a hard time. And it would be easy for me to say, you know what? They're just going from church to church, because, I mean, there's been several cases of that happen, trying to get money. But the point is, I can't judge that. We can't judge that. Our job is to offer love. Now, my job is not to offer love by opening up my wallet. My job is to point people in the right direction. The way that we work as a church is we work through cooperative Christian ministries. We work through our local food banks. We work through some other organizations to help people so that they can run it through a process and make sure they get the help that they need. But again, it's easy for us to jump to that human emotion. Just like this rich young man. It was easy for him to go down the list of the commandments and say, I've not violated any of this. But Jesus said, you don't fully get it, because he had put other idols before God. You see, money was the idol that this guy had. Now, it could be anything. It could be anything that keeps us away. It could be pride. It could be pornography. It could be addictions. It could be work. It could be hobbies. There are just so many things that we could list as idols that take the place of our relationship with God. And what Jesus does here is he reveals to this man, and he reveals to us, that it's not simply just a matter of a bunch of check boxes that we have to meet. He wants us to see that we must give up the things that stand in the way of a deeper relationship with God. Now, we see that it's a difficult thing, because he goes on to reveal that these things are nearly impossible. Now, how are you going to get a camel through the eye of a needle? But what he's pointing out is that while it may seem impossible for us, all things are possible through God. So if we put our trust and faith in him and fully submit ourselves before him, then it will be easier for us to understand, to see what these idols are in our life that so quickly take the place of God, to see what those things are that stand in the way of us living more fully as humble Christians. Those idols can be anything, and we have to be aware of what those things are. Again, asking the right questions. What stands in the way? The scripture today tells us to get rid of those things. To get rid of those things, or else get our priorities right. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples, be obedient. Do the things that are the priorities in our life. And then everything else can be there. It doesn't tell us that we have to give up everything that we have, but we have to give up those things that stand in the way of that deeper relationship with God. Got to give up those things that we place a greater importance on in our lives than in God. Some of you know that many years ago I used to be, and I still fish, and I still fish some tournaments occasionally, but I used to be, I guess you would call a semi-pro bass tournament fisherman, and I traveled all over the southeastern United States fishing and did okay, but one day I woke up and realized every Sunday I'm fishing. Every Sunday I'm away from my family. Every Sunday I'm off somewhere chasing a dollar because of catching the five heaviest bass. And I realized that this is not what God had in store for me or for anybody. That I was supposed to be somewhere else. That I was supposed to be doing something different. And I realized that tournament fishing had become my idol. And tournament fishing had taken me out of the church. Tournament fishing had taken me away from those things. And sometimes we have to be slapped in the face with it. And I remember when that happened. I remember very specifically when that happened. It was the practice day before another big tournament down in Santee Cooper, South Carolina. And had just got back to my motel room. And then I realized that I was doing the wrong thing. And I packed up and didn't fish the tournament the next day. I came home. and my life changed then from that, took that idol out of the place. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to ask ourselves the hard questions. We've got to ask ourselves the hard questions. What is it that we need to give up that stands in the way of our deeper relationship with God? Now, we ought to be thankful for what we have. Our God in heaven provides. We know that. We have to remember those things for which we are thankful for. Loved ones, jobs, houses, pets, hobbies. We can be thankful for those things. But again, it's about establishing the right priority. We have to establish that priority in a way that leads us into a closer relationship rather than a relationship away from God. We have to remember that we're created by His hands and in His image. We're created for a purpose. We're created to be loved. We can be thankful that our sins were washed away by the blood of Christ and that we're given a promise of an everlasting life for those who accept Christ. And that we have hope that today is good, but tomorrow will be better. And that our God is always near. And that through God, all things are possible. You see, our God stands ready to pour out His grace and mercy on every person who stands ready to receive. These are the things that we can be thankful for. So then, what is it that we are to do? We must follow the commands that our God gave Moses on that high mountain. We're to follow the great command to love God, to love our neighbor. And if we do these things and we take these things as non-negotiable, then we can form our lives around the Word of God rather than expecting heaven and the Word of God to form their lives around us. We have to remove those barriers that keep us away from that relationship that God has in store for us. We have to be faithful stewards of what we have and be willing to share what we have with others. And to share not only the things that we give, but to share our love. We have to be committed. So what am I to do? Am I to run out and give everything up or sell everything? No. Put things into order. Put things into priority. Submit ourselves humbly in the sight of the Lord. Because God stands ready with His grace and His mercy. And I ask it again. And I ask these things. I ask these things to prepare you for the ministry of inviting others to be part of the body of Christ. Because these are the things that people that are not here today are experiencing. What is it that keeps you away from church? What is it that keeps you from praying if you should? What is it that keeps you from reading the Bible? What is it that keeps you from participating in outreach and mission? And if we know those answers inwardly, then as we go out the doors of this church in mission, then we know how more effectively to reach people in the name of Christ, that others too would come to this place to be disciples and be baptized not only by the water, but by the Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 367. He touched me.